All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sean Thornton, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia? What are you saying? Fresh off your gala with the Philadelphia Warriors?
Yeah.
On the Battleship, New Jersey? How was it?
Oh, it was a pretty cool event.
It looked great, man. Yeah,
what a cool venue, obviously. I mean, the first time I've ever been on the Battleship, New Jersey, but what a great place to have
first
an event.
First time?
First time. Well, you don't hang out there?
Not since breakfast, but no, but it looked awesome, man.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I wish that could have all the boys are all fired up and in their uniforms. They look pretty dapper. I know.
They look so good, man.
Well done. The event was, it was certainly something that needs to happen annually.
Yeah.
I think they've all acknowledged that.
So. If it happens again and I'm still kicking, I'm there. I was in Johnstown, PA.
Oh, God. What were you doing there?
Rebels were there for the weekend. Didn't have the best weekend. Let's not really talk about that. 0-2 on the weekend.
How was the bus ride?
The bus ride sucked. They all suck. It sucks an hour away, let alone four.
Oh, four.
Four and a half. Yeah, but, you know, you throw a little gummy in your mouth and you just kind of doze off.
Yeah, just melt into the seat.
Melting's a great word. Just ask my boy, Matty Gaudreau. Oh, sorry, Matty. a little heavy. You were a little heavy.
Yeah. I had to peel him off
poor
the
little
seat.
Guy. He weighs a buck 30.
I'd peel him off the seat.
Matty, I'm not going to throw you under the bus, but it was Matty, hey, a little heavy.
We
Riggs.
All got to keep our sanity now.
Yeah, we have to. Coaches deserve that after a tough weekend. But anyway, that's why I didn't make it, and it sucked because I was really disappointed, honestly. But I'm glad it went well because I saw the pictures and videos, man, and talked to a few of the guys. So
we missed you.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there, man.
What else we got?
Well,
Flyers hockey.
I'll tell you. Well, before we get to Flyers hockey, I just got to throw a little shout out for Elvis and his team. They were 3-0 last weekend.
Any shout outs?
No shutsies, but his partner Max had two wins. LV played one game and got the win. So it was fun. PHC 2014.
All right,
the boys they're rolling. So that was fun. But yeah, you're right. The Flyboys since last week, tough loss with San Jose.
Yeah,
obviously, that but was. they bounced back. Big win in Anaheim, and LA. Mm-hmm. Anaheim or Sam Ersson, 35 saves, played really well. Your boy Sanheim had 3 points. He's playing 25 minutes.
Yeah, I know, man. He's galloping out there.
He stepped it up. 25 minutes, a lot. You know, he can handle it. He's in great shape.
Yeah, exactly. He can skate himself out of trouble.
Yeah. So, but that was a big win for them in Anaheim, you know. But I think a bigger win in L.A. because L.A.'s doing really well.
Yeah, exactly. Even going back to the San Jose game, I know it's you know, horseshit that they lose to a team that doesn't have a win, but they outshot them like 2-1.
They did.
You know, they actually played
yeah
pretty damn good. It's just like one of those games. That, but you bounce back and you win two games on the road on top of that.
That was huge, especially after that loss.
Rebound like that is a good sign of character. So
yeah,
the boys seem like they're
yeah. They hummed along around, there out west. Staying
pretty consistent.
Our boy Frosty got on the board, too. Yeah. Geez. Thank goodness, man. He deserved it because he's been playing well and working hard. Yeah, I loved it. I love seeing him score. And Tip's getting it going.
Oh, Tippy.
Oh, he's getting it going. There. He scored three in two games. Yeah, in that play around Vitrano.
Oh, man.
Highlight reel. That was boys. Highlight reel. Sorry.
That was high end.
But that was a nice
looks like
play.
Something I've seen at Hollydale before.
Oh, with you?
No, not with me.
I definitely haven't pins. Walked around anybody like that.
No?
No, I have not. But I will say, we had a win Sunday. You weren't there again. Made up some excuse. Trade deadline. I told you. It's coming.
What do you think you get for me?
Nothing. Because you don't show up. That's why I can't trade
just,
you.
Just having my name on the roster doesn't have any value?
No.
No?
Not right now. Yeah. Not if you don't show up. But the funny thing is, Brian Donahue, my boy Donnie, you know Donnie.
Yeah.
He filled in, played for us, and he hadn't played in a while. And first, second period, he was just like, he was getting really frustrated. He hasn't played in forever. Yeah. He's like, dude, I'm out of shape. I can't do anything. And in the third period, he gets a natural hattie.
No way,
three,
really?
And then he gets the G-dub in overtime. So four goals.
Wow. Yeah. All four in a row?
And we won 5-4. And it was kind of fun. At first, I thought the guys, like, we play these guys, and they're all good dudes. They were mad because Donnie was playing. I'm like, well, we normally have Riley here. And, you know, JD wasn't there. Matty Denton wasn't there. So they were all bent out of shape, and they didn't even have their goalie. But I think it was kind of more in fun, I hope, anyway, because it's men's league. I mean, let's be honest. But, yeah, Donnie, big shout-out to Donnie. Fucking 4G is not a big deal.
Jeez.
But
celebration.
I know. It's crazy. Edmonton.
Whew.
Our buddy got a job, but Coach lost a job. Woodcroft got fired.
Yeah.
Actually, if you saw that clip, he's walking across the last game he coached, and he says to Dave Manson, might be it, or something like that. And he goes, yep. That sucks, though, but it's part of the job, man.
Why did everyone seem so shocked?
I'm not sure.
Did you see that or feel that? Like, everyone's like, well, we didn't see it coming. Like,
how did you not?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What I didn't see coming was Knobber getting in there. But, I mean, I don't know him. You know him. Yeah. But he sounds like a great guy, great coach. So, from that standard, I can see why. But it seems like, you know,
and plus
a lot of available
coach. He coached,
yeah, well, that's it.
But then Connor and Junior, you know.
Yeah.
And he's done an unbelievable job in Hartford. And even, you know, he got called up to the Rangers when the coaches were sick and stuff. And I think he went undefeated as a head coach. Now, I know it's just bits and, you know, just here and there. But great man. Really good family guy. Like, one of the nicest dudes I've ever met. Played men's league with us. He played in a tournament with us, I should say. But great guy, man. And I'm happy for him. And he gets the W.
Yeah.
His first coach. You know, that usually happens, right? Like, that happens a lot. But I was happy they
rally around,
Maybe they can get it going, you know, like start getting some bounces. Because, like we said last week, I haven't seen a ton of their games. I've watched more because of the way they've been playing, but they haven't had a lot of puck luck. But they kind of got it the other night on McDavid's goal. The goalie kind of knocked it in himself, but doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Just need wins, and hopefully they can keep it going for old Chuck. Love Knobber.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But you know, I saw an interview with Knob on was on Spittin' Chicklets, actually. It was just like the blurb of his press conference. And, you know, you could just see he's such a good guy. Yeah. He got emotional and asked about, like, how did you land up here, you know, and who do you have to thank? And he mentioned his wife and his family and everything. He got emotional. I was like, oh, he almost makes you want to cry.
But, I know, right?
Yeah, but he's got a guy you want to play for, you know, because he cares and, you know, his heart's in it. But I thought it was interesting, you know, just seeing, like, the press conference when they announced the firing, like how Kenny Holland saying, oh, yeah, we talked to the players. And then he passes it over to the president. He's like, nope.
Yeah.
No conversations at all. No, nothing. We didn't talk to the players. Like, well, what is it?
Well, which one? Did you talk to the players or did you not?
Well, yeah, exactly. It was like, clearly you did. Like, I mean.
Yeah, oh, something had to go down. I don't know,
but like.
I'm sure the core guys.
The core guys. Well, exactly. Right? You know, but, you know, it's always funny when they try and dust things under the rug. Everyone's trying to like hold up a lie. And
yeah.
Be all stoic about what's going on. Like, geez, like,
just tell us
big secret. You know? Yeah,
can't tell us all the secrets, no, but you can tell us a little bit. But our boy, the big boy.
Oh yeah,
not a big deal. 200 win the other night.
He was jacked up.
That was awesome. Talked to him after the game. Congratulated him.
Yeah.
What do you think he said to me?
You like big tits?
Exactly what he said. He actually said, you don't like them. And I said, oh, I do. But congrats, Chief. That's awesome, that's man. Big, he's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah, I love that clip. I saw, you know, you must have saw it too. Just like the clip in the locker
boys,
room.
Yeah.
And Schenner and just like the boys all rallying around. Even Otter got squeezed his head
in
there.
Yeah, Otter, he's awesome, too. Those guys, they work well together, man. Our boy, Yogs, they're retiring his number.
Why?
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Played pretty well.
Why is his number not retired?
Good point. Well, it is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Well, good. Someone came to their senses.
Yeah. Yeah. So, congrats.
Right beside 66, you think?
Right beside him. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I would say so. Love Yogs. Hopefully we can get him on here, try to track him down. Maybe Jake can help us with that because Yogs a busy man.
Maybe we get Yogs in the alumni game. What do you think?
For which team? He played for both.
Yeah, that's a good point. Flyers, I was thinking,
Flyers,
obviously.
I would say that'd be the place.
Yeah. I forgot you were.
Yeah, but congrats, Yogs. And some sad news, man. Roman Čechmánek passed away. Not sure.
Too young.
Yeah, 52 years old, man. And we had just been talking about him with Boosh
I know.
A couple weeks ago. He was a really good guy. He's actually a funny guy. It's a shame. I don't know what happened, but rest in peace, brother.
Yeah, yeah, too it's bad. Tough. Yeah, too bad, too early.
And you know what? I want a quick shout-out from you and I to Kelly Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Sweet's lovely wife. Kelly. She was messaging us this week saying hello. Just hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, hope
you. And we miss you. Just want to say hi to you.
Yeah, no, she's always been a huge supporter of ours and the whole family. So, no, she's had some struggles, but wish her the best.
Wish her the best.
And I think we're ready to rock here.
We're ready to rock.
Yeah.
All right.
134.
Yep.
With our good pal Sean Thornton.
30 cakes. Let's go.
All right. Here we go. Before we get to our interview, we have a message from our sponsor, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. With so many in-season ingredients, you'll taste all the freshness of fall in every bite of HelloFresh's chef-crafted recipes. Produce travels from the farm to your door for peak ripeness you can taste. HelloFresh does all the shopping and meal planning for you. Ingredients arrive at your doorstep, pre-portioned and ready to cook, along with pictured step-by-step recipe cards. How easy is that? Be sure to go to HelloFresh.com/50Knuckles and use code 50Knuckles for 50% off plus free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/50Knuckles and use code 50Knuckles for 50% off plus free shipping. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. This week, we are super, super excited to have a guy I've known since 1998.
Wow.
Met him in 97-98 season, drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs. In the 97 NHL entry draft, this guy played 705 NHL games. What's really impressive is he also played 605 American Hockey League games.
Whew.
It's an amazing career. Let's welcome to the show, Sean Thornton. I like to call him Thorny Cakes.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
up, brother?
Gentlemen, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, man, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you, man. God, Thorny, met you back in 98 in St. John's. Never forget, you fought Woody, Stone Cold, Steve McLaren. And then after the game, I ran into you. It was the first time I ever met you. We had a couple beers in one of
the case in St. John's.
Yeah. In St. John's, yeah. What was the name of that street?
George Street.
Yeah. Met you there, and just one of the great guys in hockey. So fortunate to get to know you a little bit, and we always just said hi and shot the shit a little bit. And man, I tell you what, your story, I mean, playing that long, I don't know if anybody's done that. I mean,
the 600 first in the AHL, then 700 they haven't. I think there's like two other guys that did it, but it was the flip. They played the NHL and then wrote it out in the minors. So
okay, yeah, I mean,
probably not tough guys though. It's harder.
I know you had a hard.
I don't think they had the 400 tilts or whatever the hell.
No, yeah, my exactly. God, it was impressive. You were obviously in the American League. That's where I got to know you, and you're one of the toughest guys in the league every year. And not only tough, but you played the game and you did it the right way. You know, you were one of those guys that. You're an honest guy. To me, I thought, you know, because we had a lot of toughness in Philly, as you know, and you guys, you had a, you know, you usually were with tough teams. I mean, obviously you were carrying the load, but it was amazing that whole journey for you. I mean, we'll talk about it, but just wanted to throw that out there. It's pretty fucking amazing, man.
Yeah.
On Philly, I had a celebratory drink when they tore down the old Spectrum. I hated going in that place.
You're not the first to say that.
Always three and out, usually when I was in there on a Sunday after traveling from whatever, Wilkes Bar, Binghamton. Yeah. God, that place went down. Thank you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably wasn't that fun coming into Philly, I'm sure, back then, because I think before my era, I was always three or four or five.
Always
tough
afternoon
guys.
Games too against you guys. So it's like I just want to get on that bus and get out of here, but yeah. I kind of have to fight my way onto the bus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, not a shortage of adversity probably coming into Philly, and the amount of animals the teams always carried.
Yeah, we usually had some.
Yeah, so
everyone had five or six, right?
I know, right? It's a different animal.
Pecking order: top three took care of the top three, and then you just. Every once in a while, some other people get sprinkled in. It was a different time, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. So what are you up to these days? I know you're down in Florida.
Yeah. So I moved on to the business side literally 3 weeks after I retired. I'm now overseeing all our revenue channels. So ticketing, sponsorship, foundation, community, all kind of report into me. Those are my daily things, and some biz development. I apologize for some noise in the back. We actually have Pink here tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You might hear a
say
little
hi to her.
Yeah. I'll give her a shout. I'll give her a shout out for you.
Nah, she says hi.
Yeah, no, I said what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the office every day, 5-6 days a week, depending on games. And it's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome, man.
How'd you land up in that job? Or did you have a background in finance or anything like that?
No. I had a general curiosity about the business side of things. When you play in the minors, you're kind of forced as a player to do a lot of things like whatever, dinners, tickets, season ticket holder events, blah, blah, blah. I always enjoyed doing it. And then when I got to Anaheim, I was in the hotel by myself for 6 months, and that hotel's right across the street from the rink. I was like, I can go sit in the hotel room by myself, or I can sit in the offices and get to know people. So I ended up doing that, learning a little bit. And I went to Boston. I really dove in. I would sit in the office, you know, a few days here and there, and sit with ticket sales, sit with sponsorships, sit with community, sit with foundation, sit with different people, PR, marketing, content, and really try and learn the ins and outs of how the business side worked. And when I got to Florida, our ownership had just bought the team. And when they asked me questions about what I saw in other organizations, it wasn't like, the wives need better sushi in the wives' lounge, or
yeah,
you know, the hotel isn't good enough. It was more like, why aren't we leveraging players for this, that? Why aren't you doing these things in the community? Blah, blah, blah. And our CEO and our minority owner at the time said, you're a little smarter than your job description lets on. So would you like to try coming on the business side? And I had to make a decision between coming on the business side. And I also had two job offers back in Boston to do some TV stuff and radio and a little bit with the Bruins. But I chose this passion. It's worked out.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah, that's a lot smarter than I was. Gonna use my time a little bit better instead of drinking and nursing hangovers.
Oh man,
good for you. That's impressive.
It really is.
I'd love to hear that. It's probably some of the young generational players could be listening into and
and it potentially
like you too. I didn't make a bank load that I could just sit back and golf every day. So like I had to figure something out.
And, yeah. I'm glad it worked out. Yeah, definitely. That's great.
Yeah. So back to your playing, you played four seasons with St. John's, with the Maple Leafs, and you move on to Norfolk, which you end up there five seasons, but you get 31 games. You finally get, you know, that call up. How excited were you? That's a dumb question, but how excited were you when you got that first call for that game?
Yeah, so I was actually lucky. I think I would have been nervous as hell if I got called up. My second year in the Chicago organization, there was a couple of injuries in camp, but I made it out of like camp right into the regular season. So I got to crack it. I think I might have sat out game one and then played game two. Anyways, but I was up. So I can't imagine if I was down in the minors again after 6 years and all of a sudden I got the call up, I would have probably puked my guts out. But it kind of like exploded into the season. Brian Sutter was our coach, and he made me really feel like I belonged on the team. I was playing on like the second line with Nylander and Steve Sullivan. I'm like,
wow.
On the second line of the minors, how the hell am I on there? But so I was in a good spot, and we had a really tough team that year too, so I wasn't like called up, relied on just doing the job. I mean, we had like Chris Simon, Lyle Odeline, we had a bunch of pretty tough guys, so I got to play the game a little bit, which was nice. I think I was up for like 100 games about with Chicago, only played 30 of them. I was like the extra guy a lot, but as you guys know, being the extra guy in the NHL after 5-6 years in the minors is way better than being the best guy down in the jungle. So
that's the truth.
I wasn't complaining about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Who was your first Tilly with?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. No, I do remember. It's Eric Bolton, and he put me on Bolts. The other side of the street. Yeah, I had fought Bolts a few times in junior. I can't remember if I fought him in the minors. I don't know if we played against each other in the minors. But all my friends flew in. It was like the home opener in Chicago against Buffalo Sabres. I took a run at somebody, and then I was skating back up. He came off the bench and shook him off, and we started swinging. I don't even know how many times we swung, but on his like first or second, he, boom, lights out, dropped, gone.
Oh, really? Oh.
Went to the locker room. I was like, that's not how I wanted my first NHL fight to go. I had a lot more to prove myself. So
yeah,
back then,
yeah,
they weren't even on TV, and there was no hockeyfights.com.
So yeah,
I didn't tell a story unless you already know about it.
Yeah, that's
it. Happens all right.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, like, you know, just going back to your days in St. John's, but you played 4 years there and you had obviously a shitload of PIMs and you had pretty good numbers. Did you ever get any insight on why you never got a game with the Maple Leafs? Did they ever talk to you about that?
You know, I was a little disappointed, I'm not going to lie to you, but they had Ty Domi, they had Chris King, Wade Belak, they had some guys in that role. A couple, there's like one or two times that a couple of them were injured and I thought I might get the call, but it just never happened. And that's kind of what forced me to go out and, they didn't qualify me 1 year. I didn't have an agent. I went out and like called every single GM in the NHL and AHL and ended up getting an opportunity in Chicago. Mike Smith was there. He was the AGM in Toronto when I was in Toronto, and he brought me into camp and signed me to a deal out of camp.
Oh, amazing. Oh, cool. Well, it certainly worked out for you.
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Would like to get up a little quicker, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when you went up for good, when you got to Anaheim, you never looked back. That's for sure, you know.
No, it was great. Being on that team, getting a cup, I mean, right place at the right time, right? The thing, nobody ever talks about the stats as much unless you're a superstar. And for guys like us, it's just the fact that I have a trophy or two. I'm very lucky. But that definitely springboarded me into the next 7 years in Boston and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, you were a big part. I remember, like, being the hockey fan that I am and kind of knowing you a little bit, I was so excited for you. And then especially like you were a part of that team, like you were playing, you're a big part. And it was just so cool to see you lift that cup, man. It's a dream for everyone, right? Like no even doubt. Equipment guys, you know, like to do that. But it was really cool to see you do that. And you play with one of our buddies, Prongs.
Yeah.
He's a beauty, isn't he?
He is. You always know you stand with Mr. Pronger, that's for sure. He was good to me, though, because we had, like, the Peterborough connection. We played in the same town, and obviously he really respects guys that were in my role. He was great. He came to work with us in Florida for a little bit afterwards after his
playing career
was done, too. He was assistant GM here with Dale. And me and Prongs get along pretty well. Big unit. He is a monster of a man. I've never seen legs that long and a torso so short.
Yeah, right. Floating around out there with the pool skimmer, he's so much reach, like a spider.
Rigatoni, he's always coming in the morning. Rigatoni, that's what he called Riles.
Well, Prongs called me that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. And then it evolved into several other things.
So, like you said, a kind of a springboard. You win the cup. You're a big part of that team, and you end up in Boston for the next 7 years. And you're a huge part of their team every year, no matter what, man. Like, I loved seeing you there, and it was just you made the game fun, and you knew guys couldn't fuck around. But one of the best fights you always see it is coming up is you two. Going at it, obviously just chucking. And I think I said this last week, but I don't know if you remember this, and maybe I read your lips wrong, but I'm a pretty good lip reader. But I remember when you guys squared off, you were like looking at Rousey, you said, just like old times.
Yeah.
As you guys, and I just thought that was so cool.
Absolute fucking battles down in Norfolk in the minors. I didn't know who Rousey was. Like, I'd been in the league for what, 4 years, 5 years? Because 5 years. So, like, and you had just come from the Western Hockey League. And back then, there's no social media, there was no video, and then he's running around like an idiot. And I'm like, who is this young kid? I'm gonna smack his lips off. And then we square off. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not smacking his lips off. He's a little tougher than I thought he was gonna be. So we had some battles down there. And then when we got to that point in the season, I mean, I tell you what, I become good friends with the Dropkick Murphys because of that fight. I went to like an after show like 2 or 3 days later, and Ken Casey came up to me. He's like, you're a fucking animal. You're a fucking animal. I was like, we used to do that for peanuts down in the minors.
Yeah, I know, right?
There's 20,000 people watching now instead of 4. It used to be just scouts and guys watching us.
I know, right? A little different energy for sure. Yeah, those are the days. I mean, it's like, it's hard to believe actually that we used to do that, because it was like, you know, I just like look at some of these clips. I'm like, fuck, I'm like, I know one of those two fights there, in Boston Gardens, you broke my nose. I think it was the second one. It was almost in the exact same spot. It was almost the exact same fight, really.
Yeah, it was.
But it was just like, man, you're always a gamer. So every time I played you, I knew it was like there's probably a pretty damn good chance that we're going to fight.
We're both the same size, and you're majority a lefty. I'm actually left-handed, but same as you, throw ambidextrous. So I knew, I think one time in the minors, I tried to go left for left, and I think you got the better of me. I'm like, I'm just, fuck this. I just got to come straight down the pipe and let the better man win at this point, because I knew I wasn't out muscling you with my left. And it ended up being, an amazing fight. There was no defense in either of those.
No. It was definitely blow for blow.
I'm the best. They're just going. But there wasn't anyone sitting in the seat.
No.
Not a fucking chance. It was awesome.
Yeah, Philly and Boston, those crowds are very similar. Their fan base is very similar. They don't shy away from the violent stuff.
I'll tell you what, this just popped in my head. I don't care, Thordy, if you lost the fight, Jack Edwards would not say you did.
Oh no,
you could be sleeping, and he's like, "Oh, Thordy, he just he won, but he's taking it. He made it a wrap." It's unbelievable. Oh, I love listening to him. Yeah. Bullshit, man. Holy fuck. But anyway, Boston, I do have to bring up one. You turn around and shoved it up our ass, but the feeling when you guys are up 3-0 the 2010, and we ended up going to the finals, but we come back in that series, the guys come back and win that must have been like you'd already won a cup, but still, man, you're hungry for another one, right? That was had to be tough.
In that city, like I couldn't get away from it like all summer, because I stayed in Boston all summer. When we signed there, I said, I've heard so many great things about the city. Like, let's actually give it, we got to deal with the winters. Let's enjoy the summers. And that summer, I'm not sure I was enjoying it as much, but I will say, like, we got up 3-0. We got a little complacent. We lost Kretsch too, right? Which is a big piece.
Mike Richards.
Puzzle. But I think we got a little complacent. Then we were up 3-0 in the final game in the first period. And I was looking around and guys were celebrating. I'm like, we haven't won shit yet. Like I do think that we needed to learn from it, and we took that loss. And the next season, when we went to the cup and ended up winning, I'm not sure if we win the cup without that loss, because it really taught us that like the game is never over. When you're down, you still got a chance right until the final buzzer. Right. When you're up, you better keep the pedal down. Like it's 8-1 in 2 minutes left. Go score 9. Who gives a shit?
Really.
So we learned a lot from it. Yeah, it crushed us. It sucked, but because we had a pretty good team that year too, and I think we got through you guys. Like I think we had a legit chance. But you know, it took us another year, and it was definitely a little adversity that we had to learn from.
Yeah, Luch basically alluded the same thing, that he thought that that really springboarded you guys the next year. And the next year we end up catching you again, and you poop brought the brooms out and swept us. But I was actually happy to see you guys win, because, you know, you guys went through that shit the year before. If we weren't going to win, I mean, I thought it was cool. You guys had Rex, good buddy of ours, Mark Recky.
He's awesome. And
that guy, dude, he just, all he did was win. Mm-hmm. He won. But yeah, he's an awesome guy. But, you know, you get your second Stanley Cup win, man. Like, who would have thought, eh? Like,
when definitely not.
You know, like, it's so
cool. When we were sitting in Turkey Joe's or Greensleeves or whatever the hell it was in St. John's, Newfoundland, having a beer, there was no chance I was predicting I was going to have two rings at the end of this thing.
Oh, man. Turkey Joe's. It's Turkey. That's awesome, though, man.
Yeah. Can you talk about the leadership group? I'm going to say both teams. I mean, maybe the differences, because obviously it's a huge part of
In Anaheim, you know, we had Timu, both Niedermeyers, Prongs, Sean O'Donnell, I'm probably forgetting a couple of guys off the top of my head, Todd Marchand. Right. That was kind of the leadership group. And they had all went to, like, the conference finals, I think, the year before against Edmonton, if I'm not mistaken. And
that's right.
Boston, they were all really close. And I came in, and myself, Peros, a few other guys, we all got along and we were in the room, but we kind of just sat back and, you know, did what we were told and just chipped in where we could and tried to be tried not to be a disruptor. And those guys were such amazing leaders. Scott Niedermeyer, Robbie Niedermeyer, like, just true champions of the game. Tamo's never had a bad day in his life. Like, every day he showed up to work, didn't matter how bad we were getting skated, how bad Randy was yelling at us, like, that guy was smiling 24/7. I did take something from that. I'm like, you know what? Like, we're playing a game for a living. Like, is it really that bad to get bag skated? Like, you're just getting a good workout. Like, just enjoy it. I tried to keep that attitude for the rest of my career too. So great bunch of guys. Then we got to Boston. Everyone asked between the two, like, which one means more. I would say Anaheim was more exciting because I never thought I'd win a ring or a cup. And I was in the minors for 9 years leading into it. But Boston probably means more because I was part of that leadership group with Rex, with Z, with Bergie. You know, there's a PJ Axelson that when I got there, like, we had a really solid group that kind of controlled the room in a positive way and held each other accountable and created a atmosphere that if you weren't playing to the best of your ability, you were letting the person beside you down. And that was the only team I was ever on, probably, that everyone in that room was genuinely happier for the guy next to them to score 20, 30 goals than they were for themselves to even get any cookies, and really genuinely loved each other. So it was a cool group to be a part of, and, you know, getting to play a little bit more minutes and be there for a while and help contribute, that one means a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that for sure. You guys are like tough too. Group. And just like all around it, just like, you know, it's what you think of, like,
like, I carried the workload mostly, but, like, at the end of the day, I might have been number three on the totem pole with Big Z when he got mad. And, like, Luch is an absolute monster. Like, he was young at the time, but Big Gino's got as heavy hands as I've ever seen. So, I had to step in and do most of it. But the comfortability I had, those two guys were right behind me and maybe tougher than me, it definitely helps you do your job to do a little bit better of your ability.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. I mean, there's a few times I was chirping Chara, and I'm thankful that he didn't absolutely snap. You know, I didn't want to get stuck on the end of one of those poles. But
yeah. Oh, my God.
He's definitely got not a short fuse. It seems like maybe you could probably speak to that. But, I mean, the amount of stuff that I said to him and him not reacting, maybe just because I'm a plug and he was just like, why the fuck would I fight you anyways? But I'm like, man, he just, like, could take a lot. And just, like, sit there and
he's a very mature individual, to be completely honest. Like,
yeah, I bet.
When he wants to turn it on, there's somebody, like, he's engaged with and he's passionate about, like, you don't want to be in the end of that. I've seen it too many times, but I think he looks at the big picture and he's like, maybe in your case, he's like, you know what? Like, I'm playing 30 minutes tonight. Like,
of course,
don't engage. And then maybe he'll just shut up and leave me alone.
That's it. I think that was a good strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if I fight him, I'm out of the game for 5 minutes and I don't think I need to be right now. I got three other idiots that can do that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, obviously having a couple guys like that on your side, certainly, you know, not that you could puck your chest out.
Yeah, I felt like we could play any game, or we felt like we could play any game. You wanted to get down and dirty, like, all right, when you go down the pecking order, you get to five or six, and we still have, like, Johnny Boychuk and Nathan Horton, who got,
yeah,
like,
right,
they're tough, like, really tough. We play that game, or if you want to hit, we can play that game. You want to play skilled, we could do it any which way we wanted to. And Anaheim kind of felt the same way. So I like teams that are built like that personally, but I'm not a GM, so it's not up to me anymore. But I love being on a team that didn't matter who, what people were bringing, we felt we could match it.
It's funny you said that. Well, not funny, but we talk about that quite a bit. Like, what do you think about today's game? I feel like you still need something, you know, some grit, some jam, and have a guy that can answer the bell. Like they do here in Philly right now with Delorier. And a lot of teams, you know, some teams do, but what are your thoughts on the game these days? I know it's different, but.
Yeah, I think the game's as exciting to watch as I've ever seen, right? Like it's faster. It's these kids are doing things with the puck at like 120 miles an hour. Like my ankles break just watching them. So like it's really impressive what they can do. As far as the fighting stuff, I think intimidation is part of life. I think it's part of all life. You walk into a room 9 times out of 10, you're sizing it up to see where you stand. You put that into, you know, 200 by 85 with no out of bounds, guys moving 30 miles an hour with sticks in their hand. Like it's a pressure cooker. So it's going to happen whether you have the dedicated guy or not. So in my opinion, I'd rather have a few guys that actually at least know what they're doing to alleviate the pressure when you need to. So I'll be completely honest. I didn't love when me and Riles were expected just to go out and fight each other in the first period because that was our job description. Like it sucked. It really did. But it was a means to an end. So I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not giving the house back or the nice cars back. Right. We did just fine. But I didn't think it was a great part of the game. I'm glad it was there for us, but it sucked. So that part being out of it now, I'm okay with it, but I still think you need some guys. And I think the guys on the team, I mean, I saw this my last couple of years in Florida where I wasn't supposed to play much. And they basically went into the coach and said, like, we just feel better when he's around. So put him in the lineup. And I think the guys really, again, same as life. When you know somebody has your back, like you have a little bit more confidence.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The reason the role was created in the first place, right? It's just giving guys some breathing room and just that having that presence, how powerful that is. And that whether you fight or not, just the accountability factor just having you there is... And not to mention, like, you're a good guy. Like, you want to have a good guy around, and you got your back, you know?
It's just, there's not too many tough guys that are bad guys.
Right?
The arrogance was beaten out of us years ago, literally.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I got to throw out some of the equipment guys that I'm really good friends with, Keto and Maddie and in Boston. And obviously, Frosty's one of my best friends, and Moods was with him in Florida. I mean, you were by far both teams, you're their favorite guy. That's the truth. They were in, and as I remember us going, I went to dinner with you guys when you were the Panthers in Philly here. The late
we went to some places like BYOB. I didn't even know if it was a real restaurant. The food is amazing, though. I'm not even sure how to talk about the place. Like,
I think you know whose it was.
Yes,
we don't want to bring that up, but I just remember, you know, Frosty just always had just such great things to say, and just talking to you, like, you kept the kids in line, all the, you know, and you kind of ran the room. I mean, from what they said, in a great way, not like, oh, this is my room, but, you know, you kept everybody in check, and I know they really appreciate it. As an equipment guy, you really appreciate that. You got to play with the late great Jimmy Hayes Broadway. Sure. Man, what a good dude. We actually went to after that dinner Spaz's birthday party, Julie Spaziano, we went to a birthday party with her. But anyway, just all the trainers always had such good things to say about you. And
it's good to hear. You know what?
Yeah.
I came from the steel factory, man. Like, I signed my first deal literally in a steel factory. And the work the trainers do, like, I think it goes unnoticed. And usually the same as tough guys. Like, I think they're underappreciated, maybe a little underpaid, and work harder than most. So there's a relatability factor there. Those guys, they do everything for you, right? I mean, you come from the minors where you're packing your own bag and unpacking it, and I still think they're overworked. And you get to the NHL, and you're not even allowed to touch your bag. It's like the trainers are yelling at you, hey, don't do that. That's my job. I'm like, wait, no. We can all do this together. It'll be a lot quicker. Like, no, we'll meet you after for a beer. I was lucky. I had some great trainers, had some great coaches, great trainers, and, you know, loved trying to take care of them the best I could.
Yeah, they had nothing.
I wish I made more money so I could give them more, but I gave them what I could. I gave them what I could. Rich in experiences, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, for sure.
Yeah, I could relate. I spent more time in Nasty's office than I did, certainly playing, but probably more than what I should have been doing, actually working on my skills. But yeah, it's we always had a good time. And
yes, we did.
I mean, I always connected with you guys. I can see why, obviously, all your staff connected with you, and the way you treat everybody is certainly important.
You know what I was going to ask you, too, about being in Florida? You got to play with Yarmer Yager, one of the greatest ever. But Yandel, how funny is this fucking guy?
Oh, my God.
Like, dude, I can only – and you're a pretty witty guy, too. So I can just imagine the shit chirps, that was
done. I just sit back and listen. I don't even try and match wits with him. Like, the stuff that comes out of his mouth. Like, we see each other probably once a month. We'll go try and golf or grab a beer, catch up. You know, we were pretty tight in Boston during the lockout when we were skating together, because he's from there. We have a lot of mutual friends in Boston, so I've got to know him really well, and obviously he was my teammate here. We went to the Super Bowl together. Like, he is one of the fact that he was voted like the funniest player in the league for 2 years straight without like a drip of social media or like doing any media training or anything, and now he has TNT Hockey Night in Canada, everyone reaching out, because and it comes naturally to him. Like, he's never really not any formal stuff. He's just Yans being Yans, and it's just amazing. Like, he's awesome. I love that guy. Yeah, I love him.
Great guy.
Yeah.
We had him here. I ran into him a few times with Hazy, you know, met for some beers and stuff, and fuck, was he funny, man. God, this shit just so dry. You say shit. Fuck, I laugh.
It's not even in the realm of thinking possibility. All of a sudden, it just comes out of his mouth, and it's like the funniest thing. I don't have an exact example off the top of my head. I'm terrible at this, but like, it'll be the funniest thing you've ever heard, and it came out of absolutely nowhere. I was like, where did that come from? He's amazing.
We were in when I was still with the team. We were playing in Arizona, and he's playing on the other team, and Connor Murphy is playing over there, and so you know how the boys put the numbers up on the board. So they got the numbers up. Well, Connor hadn't put anything up yet, so they're kind of like getting ready to go out here, and still nothing there. And and says, I can't do his accent, but the traders came over and told me they were crying. They were like, anybody's motherfuck one of the coaches over there talking about Murph. Right, old man. Anybody in here got a mom that fucks one of the coaches over there? You know, that accent. And I guess the room exploded and Murph got up and wrote some, something on the board. But I didn't even know him. You know, I had said hi to him before, but I laughed. I just thought that was one of the funniest fucking things.
But that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
That was a good accent too, Nest.
Wow. I'm not very good at that. But no. It was just the way, he made
you could have blended right into Charlestown.
I wanted to ask you about that. We talked a little bit about fighting, but just your mindset, obviously, whatever, 5-6 years in the minors, like so much more meat down there, like almost probably harder minutes than NHL minutes. Like, but just talk about your mindset and
drink it away.
Just drink it away. Yeah.
But, my first couple of years, like I was probably young, hungry, still had something to prove. I never really loved it, but I knew it was my way in, right? And I didn't want to go back to the steel factory. I wasn't going back to my hometown. So you did what you had to do. And I had a mentor, this guy, Greg Bird Dog Smith. He's one of the God rest his soul. Great mentor for the miners, because he was all about make them think you're the craziest motherfucker out there. Even if you're a sane, intelligent individual, you're just going to get a little bit more breathing room. He used to tell me something stupid. You need to be suspended for 2 to 3 games a year minimum for people just to think about what you might do, and maybe people leave you alone for 41 of the 82 games. And he wasn't wrong, because every night down there there's a potential, right? And I think I was fighting 35 36 37 times. It's like every other night down there. It's too much mentally, let alone the physicality of it. Mentally, it's just too much. So my mentality was get through it, hopefully get a call up, get a chance. I also, as we all are, we're gladiators and have egos in the I guess, talent we have as fighters. Like, I had to tell myself I was the baddest man in the room or the baddest man in the league, even though I probably wasn't. And then if I lost, I would be rattled if I lost, because, and I'd want to get back and get out there and fight the guy again, because I thought he had taken something away from me. So that was my mentality. I definitely, that slowed down as I got older. Like, when I was in my 30s in the NHL, I was like, other than our battle where we punched each other in the face for 2 minutes, like, I was like, just get through it. Just don't get hurt. Like I had a coach tell me once, like, the thought of what you're going to do is scarier than what you're actually going to do, probably. So just make people think you're scary, and then hopefully you can just coast through for the rest. And that's kind of what I did for the last few years. It was, people were intimidated because of my past, not so much what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah. You earned the street credit for sure. Yeah, I know it's a grind, and I can relate to what you're saying there for sure. But I never got to the point where I could just coast and just like live off my past. So it was just like, another year, I got to do this again. I got to fight these guys again. You know, it's like, I just never, you know, got to the point where I could breathe, you know, and say like, I've done enough to like sit back and, you know, play
hockey
a little bit.
I think my few years in Boston too, when I was playing on that line with Soupy and Pisey, and we were playing in between, you know, 8 and 14 minutes a night. Then I had the opportunity to be like, man, I got 14 minutes out here tonight. I can't be fighting every single game. And that kind of, but you know how it is. When we first got started, you're playing 2-3 minutes a night. If you're not doing it, what the hell is your contribution? So you force yourself to do it. Right. So that kind of helped a little bit too, when I finally got some more minutes down there.
Yeah, no, I could see that for sure. Yeah. If I would have got 10, 14 minutes a night, I probably wouldn't be trying to fight every shift I had. just to accomplish what you said, just to feel like I just did something in the game besides being a grocery divider. But
I was going to say, it's funny you brought up Bird Dog, man, because I had him my very first year in Florida. I was there the inaugural year. That's how old I am, 30 cakes. I know you didn't know 39? That. But but I was there in, 93, 94, and we – Bob Clark, he had been with the Flyers. Clark, he brought him in, and I had known him as a kid. And, you know, I'm really good buddies with Craig Berube. I met him when I was a kid, and those two,
they used
together,
to be roommates, right?
Yeah,
you heard the stories. Were, like, oh my God.
Oh, they're fucking insane. But the thing that you said, you know, that he told you act crazy, that was Bird Dog. Like, he, even when he came into the rink, it was almost kind of like, you knew he was fucking around, but he'd just be like, hey, morning, Bird Dog. He'd be like, fuck off, you know, like, and he was just always like that. He got hurt. He broke his hand. I think it was the first game of the year we played Chicago. And so they sent him back because he had to get something done to his hand. And he goes, hey, let's go tonight, because the boys were playing against St. Louis, game two of the year. So I stayed back. It was my first year. And anyway, long story short, he goes, let's go eat some dinner. He took me and Tink. Yeah, you know, Scott Tinkler, me and Tink. Yeah. He took us to dinner at Olive Garden, big spender.
Oh,
Olive
Garden. All you can eat, salad and breads.
Yeah, all you can eat.
A lot of minor league meals for Bird Dog.
Yeah. So anyway, we go to eat dinner, and then we're gonna go watch the game, right? It's Krabby Jack's down the street. But Bird Dog's sitting there, and there happened to be two birthday parties. You know, they come out, and singing, and he, you know, Bird Dog's like, I'm gonna fucking lose it if they have another one of these fucking, and they're not bothering him, we're in a rush, you know, just people are singing, you know, the dude. So Tink goes to the bathroom, comes back 5 minutes later, you hear this thing, they come to our table, they put it to Bird Dog, and they're singing to Bird Dog, and he's just red, he's like looking at us. Then he just started laughing. But you're right, man, that was his mentality, you know, like when he played. Chief told some great stories about him, but I forgot you
got
was around
ones, like literally a guy pulling a knife out, I heard, and he's wrapping his arm, and Bird Dog chased the guy with the knife down the street trying to beat the hell out of him, like in some back town in Alberta. Like, the guy was his last year with me, he played 38 games. I think he was suspended for the rest of them. He had like two back-to-back, like 12 or 14 game suspensions, and he should have been in jail. Like, nowadays he would have been in jail.
Yeah, for sure. How about they went to Calgary, the GM ends up getting him. So Chief picks him up, and he goes, let's go have some beers. It was in the afternoon, go grab some lunch. And he's like, there's all these bikers, and they're in this little bar they go to in Calgary, and they're shooting pool. And you know how you put your name up?
Yeah.
Bird Dog right up, wipes it down. Yeah, you know. Gets all the balls, Chief and Bird Dog. He puts them. and they just play. Chief goes, holy fuck, oh, boys, man. We're in one.
We might, I guess, yeah, somebody came up and was like, what's a bird dog? And he's like, I'm a fucking bird dog. And like, yeah, that was the end of the story. Like, he's another level. Like, I miss that, man.
Did you ever hear the story quickly about him going across the Walt Whitman Bridge? So you did?
Flyers.
And the lady opens the door after like three times. She's like, what? You got to put the money. He goes, we're the Flyers. She goes, I don't give a fuck who you with. Put the money in. Because all the guys are like, all you got to do is say Flyers. Just say it into the basket because you used to throw a quarter in there.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's $5.
Yeah, right.
And he's going, Flyers. Fucking Flyers. He's losing it.
Oh,
yeah, that's classic. That story. Everybody knows that one.
Oh, that's good. Anyway. That is good advice, though, on acting crazier than you are. You know, I did the same thing. I did the exact same thing, you know, and it's amazing. It's like, you know, it's a game of psychology. You puff your chest out, even if I didn't want to fight, you know, just getting in someone's head and standing in front of them, looking them in the eye. It's just like how 100%. it's wild, you know.
You didn't want to fight LaRock?
I would rather not. You know? But yeah, I didn't have to stare him in the eyes and like puff my chest over that one. True. But you know, just like staring someone down, and you know, it kind of like translated into the real world. It was just like, it's amazing when you the way you hold yourself. You know, people don't want to engage. You know, people just want to like be left alone, and you know, and how much space it gives you. You know, not that I'm looking at for Tilly's now, but like, you know, so it's great advice because I didn't have someone tell me. I just kind of figured that's what I had to do, you know, to act a little crazier than I was to get maybe a little space and street cred. But
the other advice was always come in all guns a-blazing. If there's a pile up the scrum, like come in, cross-check somebody in the face with your gloves off, and then like start just tossing. Like don't. And back then, you know, there was so many like 5-on-5s and 3-on-4s.
Right.
He's like, don't be standing around. Don't be the guy just hanging on to somebody. You come in all guns a-blazing every time. It's like, all right, bird dog. And then if you didn't, oh my God, you had to deal with him in practice the next day, and he was coming at you all guns a-blazing. So you're a great guy to learn from.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Great. One of my favorite clips, I get all these hockey clips come up all the time, and it's the chirps when you tell Desharnais, is how you say it, Desharnais, he said, aren't you a little small to be rocking that handlebar mustache? It's one of my fucking favorites. I fucking laugh.
I got to say, the Bruins did a great job. My buddy Matt Shimura was like the head of PR and marketing, and we were mic'd up all the time, and we were able to do it. The players allowed it because we were so close with them. Like, we trusted him. So those are all like outskirts from them trying to film before they'd actually did it, this Behind the Bee show that they do now. So we were mic'd up all the time, and then he pulled a bunch of that stuff, and I don't know if he put it out there or somebody put it out there, but it gets sent to me probably once every 2 months. Somebody's like, have you seen this? I'm like, yes.
I was an idiot. I was there.
That's my voice.
No, there's some good ones on it, but it's funny. Like, it's nothing bad, but it's kind of true.
Yeah,
he's, I know. He's my size. He's rocking a fucking handy.
People love
the placatic with a turtleneck.
Oh yeah,
that was.
I still don't understand that though. I was being serious. I wasn't even chirping. I'm like, why are you still wearing that? I don't get it. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. If it was just for style, if there was, like, maybe there's some padding there.
Kovalev
like,
could actually, get away with it.
Oh, Kovalev. Yeah, he got good style.
He can do whatever he wants. He probably never had a fight a day in his life, but I actually didn't want to grab a hold of him. He was as strong of a human being as I'd ever seen out there. Yeah, he was a beast.
Wow.
You talk about Kovalev?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to fight him in warm-ups one night. And
remember
in playoffs when I put my stick in his face? I was obviously not fighting him. Yeah, it was a playoff game. I wasn't even playing. It's just warming up, and
it was the coffee, the suits,
everything. It was the concoction.
Yeah. He was like one of those Russian guys that came up with an upbringing that like we didn't know about, and was like, if I grabbed him, he was just gonna beat the hell out of me, like absolute nails, and also just the most skilled guy out there.
Oh yeah, best style too. Nasty style. Loves his style.
I love his style. Everything was perfect. The gloves, his jersey was just right. Fuck his socks. The tongue's
out. The short.
He actually signed a Panthers jersey for me, and it said, "Too nasty. I love your on ice style," because I was telling him how much I like the way he looked.
You got a stick sign from him and gave it to me too.
That's right
for the $2,500 fine that I had to pay, put my stick in his face. He signed a stick and gave it to me.
He did.
That's awesome.
So are you still doing your foundation? You're working foundation?
We have two or three events a year, mostly based out of Boston. We give half the money to Parkinson's research, and then half goes to pediatric cancer. some research and some donations to like the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber, different things are doing up in Boston. So
nice.
I think we're in the 11th year now.
Oh, well. So
it's been good. I mean, we're lucky to have a platform, and especially in that city with the way the fans in the town really rally around the players and enjoy when people get back to the community a little bit. I've been very lucky. It's golf tournament sells out every year, like months in advance. 90% of the people just keep coming back because they're having a good time and want to support my cause. So yeah, pretty lucky there.
Beautiful. Awesome. Putts and punches.
Putts and punches.
I like that. Yeah.
I cannot take credit for the name. A girl named Erin that worked in the Boston Bruins community team came up with it. So we ran with it.
That's great. Cool. That's a good one. Any chance you're playing the alumni game in January, the Boston Flyers in Philly?
No, I literally threw my skates off in the garbage when I retired, and I have not put them back on. That's a lie. I put them on twice during the 3 weeks of COVID we had down here to take my daughters on the ice because they're really, really young and you couldn't get them out there. So I put them on for that. Hindsight, I probably could just walk around in my running shoes because they were like 1 and 3. Like, they weren't moving that quick. But other than that, I have no desire to put my skates back on ever again.
So you don't want to play on our men's league team then?
Yeah, no, I get asked all the time. And we have an alumni game coming up, I think, in December down here with some veterans. And I was asked, I'm like, I don't have equipment. I literally do not have any hockey equipment anywhere in my house.
Yeah. We could find you.
I can get you some.
Yeah, you probably got some. Ron Frost, you always take care of.
I got some of the, they would. They love you, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm kind of the opposite. I feel like I can actually enjoy playing hockey now because I haven't enjoyed playing hockey for 8 years. And it's like, well, I shouldn't say it like that.
That I could see.
I mean, skill guy.
I played since 39, though.
That's right.
I don't know how I played that long, but
that's
I was
incredible.
Just done when I was, I wanted to hang him up at 38, and they called and offered me a contract and said, you might not have to play a game. I'm like, wait, you're going to pay me and I don't have to play? I just got to hang out with the boys? Like, I'm in. Then I'm playing like 60 games that year, but. I was completely done when I was shutting it down. So
yeah,
we talked about it off air, but like jiu-jitsu is like my new thing. Yeah. That's my new passion, I guess.
Yeah. Talk about that. Did you just recently competed? Was that one of your first competitions or you've been doing that for a while?
First competition. I'm mad too. I was up 2-0 in points with like a minute and a half left and I made a mistake and gave the gold away. But, it was, I said I wouldn't compete in anything when I retired too. I was like, and my wife was, she's like, I spent 20 years, well, not 20, she wasn't with me the whole time, but whatever. I spent a decade chasing you around while you're competing for things. Like, you're not taking weeks to prep for different jiu-jitsu competitions, make weight, do all this stuff. Like, those days are done. So I abided by it for 5 years. And my gym was all over me to compete. They thought I'd do well. So I entered the Miami Open, was like 45 minutes down the road. I was there, I literally showed up, competed. You're out of there in like an hour and a half. And then I went and had some beers because I've been starving myself for 3 weeks to try and make weight. But I like it. I've been doing it for 10-12 years. I started when I was playing in Boston. I do it in all the off seasons, and when I moved to Florida and retired the last 7 years, I'm in there 4 or 5 days a week. It's enjoyable for me.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's really
a little more of a chess match than hockey brawling. Hey,
yeah, I'm thinking it's crazy. Like I'm a fairly high level purple belt now, and like I get dusted daily. There's just so many different levels to this sport, and you see guys with 7 stripes on their black belt and you're like, how? Like, did you run when you got the right? Like, and they just toy with me. I'm a lot bigger than them. They just like, I'm like a little baby in their arms sometimes. So it's a pretty remarkable sport. The fact that your size can matter, but doesn't really matter if you know what you're doing. Like it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Pretty slippery. Eh? Those guys.
I'm trying to get my daughters into it, but they haven't bought in yet. I thought maybe them watching me compete too might be like edge them into it a little bit more, but they weren't into it yet.
Hopefully not yet.
Max Talbot's into that.
Yeah.
He does a lot of that. I saw him compete.
Yeah. I think Sean.
That's what he wants to wrestle. No, I actually like Max. I'd love to roll with him. Supposedly he's a jiu-jitsu guy.
He's been doing it too.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Any cauliflower ear going on there?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe this side, a little bit.
Yeah.
I actually had it when I was playing. I got in a fight once in the minors, and a guy swung and missed and, like, caught my ear, and it blew up. I'm like, what the hell was that? And it's gotten worse over the years. But I had it from a random-ass fight that the guy missed his punch and just clipped my ear. I don't know what happened, but it blew up and hasn't gone down. But it's coming. I mean, I'm 46 now. Does it really matter if my ears go off?
Yeah, right.
Still just looking extra good, street credit, brother.
Man. You see a cauliflower, you'll be like, stay away from that guy.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Especially with how our noses already look from that stuff we had to do.
That's the truth. Man. That's the truth.
Thorny, we can't thank you enough, Matt, for your time. I know you're a busy guy. I mean, I didn't know if you were going to be talking in third person. You got guys handling your stuff. You're so important now, man. I love it.
I live off my schedule, and it's a busy one. We got, you know, meeting after meeting after meeting, and I was like, Zach, can you please help me out with this? Figure it out. So
we appreciate
it. A lot quicker, but no, it's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, man.
Riley, you were an absolute warrior. I hated going up against you for what's that worth. I did not look forward to it. So I felt like I was fighting a mirror, and I didn't like it. So
I feel the same way. Much respect, man. You had a hell of a career and tough as nails, man. I got nothing but respect for you. So
thanks.
Nice to reconnect. Not on the ice.
Not on the ice.
Massey, always a pleasure, my man.
Anytime. Yeah, you're the best, man. You're one of the greatest guys I met in hockey, man. Really good dude.
Thanks, buddy.
You got All right,
guys. I'm going to get back to work now so they don't fire me.
Don't forget to say hi to Pink.
Yeah. I'm on my way down there right now.
Just tell her Nasty said hi. She'll know what you mean.
Big thank you to our good friend, Sean Thornton.
Thorny Cakes.
What a beauty.
What a big timer.
Yeah.
He's moving up in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, great guy, man. Tough fucker. You know that. Gosh, you too had your battles, as we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was a gamer for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time. Great guy, though, man. He was, as I mentioned, he treated the staff really well. He always made sure the young guys were respectful of the room and all that stuff. So I just remember talking to him all the time. He was with Frosty in Florida there.
Yeah.
And everywhere he was in Boston, Maddie and my buddies, Keto, and they loved him. He's a real team guy. So
yeah, hell of a career, man.
Yeah, just really.
Slug it out that long.
I know.
Couple cups. Yeah.
Fuck, he deserves it, man. He battled a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. So sure wish him the best.
Yes.
And it's that time.
You think it's that time?
I 100% believe it's that time.
I believe it is. It's time for Clear Questions, brought to you by clearrum.com/shop, Riggs.
Oh, yeah.
And use that code NASTY2023, and you get 35% off of your order in PA only, not New Jersey.
In PA.
But get it in you. And we need some more, fellas. I need more.
Reload. All right, baller.
Let's go, baller.
We're starting it off here with Bio1771 over on Instagram. He said, if you guys are going on a Vegas bender, who's in your starting lineup? Got to be former teammates, 3 forwards, 2 defensemen, and 1 goalie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow, that's a packed question.
Well, the goalie's Neil Little. I mean, that's just not even a question. So we'll start there.
Or Nitty.
But Nitty doesn't really talk. Litz will talk.
Yeah,
Nitty gets in that spot where he starts making faces. He talks a little bit to his shoulder with the parrot. So, I mean, we would take Nitty as backup if we needed, because those two together were insane.
Yeah.
But Litz, as far as the, you know, he's the party director.
There's a yawn, boys.
Don't talk about Vegas. He's ready for bed, boys.
I got cranked oxygen up in here.
He's nothing like Debo. Debo, you see him pop up when he's at Vegas? Anyway, 2D.
DZ?
2D. DZ's one for sure.
Right.
That's a great call. Vegas, I think he's done some damage there. Of course, he's done damage everywhere. Who's another D-man? D-man. God, there's so many to pick from.
Oh, man, yeah. We have to come back to D. Who's up front there, Nast? Who do you got?
Oh, my God. Up front, we got to take Aaron Asham for fun and toughness.
Yeah.
We definitely need that.
Yeah, Ash for sure.
So we got Ash. We got DZ. We got Litz and net. So we need 2 more forwards. I mean, there's so many. My God. Come on. You got to come up with somebody.
Oh, I mean, I'm just trying to think. You think like a guy like Uppy?
100%. Him and Loops.
Him and Loops.
Let's put
them
on. Yeah, yeah. Him and Loops for sure.
Just toss him in there.
To Vegas. I mean, that's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I would say so.
Good talk.
Yeah. You got all the bases covered.
Situations
going
on. And then we need one more D.
Who we got?
I'm going to take Goody. I'm going to take Radko Gudas.
All right,
He's a good time, man. He's a lot of fun.
And there are
a million guys we could probably put into this situation, but I'm going with them. So we're going Neil Little, Goody, DZ. Then we got Loops, Uppy, And who was the other one? Sorry. And Ash. Yeah, Ash for the toughness. Because Uppy could get a little out of control. Yeah, maybe we got to have Ash to help him out.
Strong lineup.
Yeah, that's a great lineup. I'd love to do that. Let's go. Let's Friday. Go.
Sign him up.
I'm going. Great right. question, though.
Yeah.
Adequate Duck over on Twitter. I want to know if there are any Flyers players or coaches who taught Derek something about equipment he didn't know before.
Ooh. Man. That's
Did Rock ever teach you anything?
No. No, he didn't. He said coaches. Man. Wow. About equipment.
French Mike?
No, he didn't really talk about equipment too much, French Mike. You see that phone? You want to see that phone?
More concerned with the phone.
A coach that could have maybe taught me something about equipment. It's actually a pretty good question because I'm sure there's been a time where someone
Gordo.
Said, oh, do you think Gordo?
Some goalie equipment issues?
Well, no, that's a good point, too. Like, goalie coaches stuff. Oh, man, that's a good question. You got me stumped here.
Johnny had to have taught you something.
Johnny?
He's always got a full little...
Man, I mean, no one really ever upgrades. Said too much about it. You know, they never said, oh, you should do this or you should do that or, hey, did you ever see this? Would be a goalie coach.
Yeah.
Probably has thrown something out there before about pads or maybe some extra protection or something like that. But I really can't put my finger on one single incident. I'd really have to think about that one. That's a good question. Sorry, I don't have a better answer.
We got one more from Super Dino Mike over on Twitter.
Dino.
Riley, do you remember the moment you realized or a coach told you that you might have a chance of making it to the league? And what was that feeling like?
That's a great question. I'm not sure if there was an exact moment that made me believe it. I think I've always believed it as long as I can remember, even way before I even started fighting. You just like, you know, growing up playing hockey.
You gotta think that, right?
It's like, that's your dream. Like, you always believe that you're going to make it. And then when I wasn't drafted and I started fighting, like, I never doubted myself. I never, like, you know, didn't think it was going to happen. But I don't remember a moment where it was just like, oh yeah, like now's the time that I'm going to believe in myself and I'm going to make it. But but certainly along the way, there's just, you know, just like as it evolves, you just.
Johnny Stevens really believed in you. And Homer did too.
Sure. And having coaches to believe in you helps you believe in yourself for sure. But, you know, I wouldn't even been with Johnny and Homer and the Phantoms had I not battled my way out of the Central Hockey League. 100%
with that straight blade.
Well, yeah. Yeah. A lot of goals in that thing. A lot of
left.
I think it might be right.
No, I meant left in the stick. Oh, yeah.
Left of the stick, yeah, right. But yeah, I don't remember an exact moment that it, you know, kind of just dawned on me that, oh, I have a chance. I think, maybe it was around the time that I decided to take on the role of the enforcer that I think that was my only shot, you know, really to give myself a standing chance. But great question. I really don't think of an exact moment. But
when you got called up or made the roster, who told you?
So it was interesting. Well, I had made the team at a training camp when Hitch was still here. They sent me down in training camp. And then I think Flyers got bullied around one of these games, called back up like the next day, made the team on the opening day roster, go out west, scratched first three games, sent down, broke my ankle. I was out pretty much half the year. But then it was later in that season when I rehabbed my foot, came back, Well, Todd Fridgey gets knocked out by Cole Tenor. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the game, and I knew in that moment I was going to get called up. So next morning, show up at the skate zone early, as I always did, and Homer called me up. And it was a pretty short meeting.
Yeah.
Calling you up, do your thing. Okay, see you, kid. All right. Gotcha. Yeah.
I remember when we were leaving New York at the beginning of the season. I think it was New York. And I'm in the truck riding back with Hairball, and Homer called me and told me you're going to get sent down. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, you know, he hangs up. Next morning, he comes to my office, you know, and he goes, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, why? He goes, oh, you took the news worse than Riley did. When I called you and told you he was going down, I said, oh, I didn't really want him to go down. He goes, well, I don't either, but he's going to go play, and he'll be back. But then you broke your fucking ankle. But it was just funny because he was like, you okay?
Yeah.
I guess I was upset.
Yeah, it was disappointing. But yeah. It happens.
But you made it back.
Made it back. Made it back.
Came yeah. back strong, baby.
Came back strong, yeah. Good questions, though. Yeah. I think that's a wrap, Nast.
That's a wrap.
134 in the books. Can you believe it?
I can't.
I can't believe it
either. I really can't.
No. Going strong.
Going strong.
All right. Until next week for 135s. Be sure to check us out on social media, subscribe on YouTube, and until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.